Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook, and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves as we are women. We are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. We are right here in the middle of January, and it's a great day. You know, it's warm in the south, it's going to be snowing in the north, and it's all just a great day. We're going to be talking about hormones today. Do you sometimes feel like you're in that cold north all the time, even though you're in that warm south? Or is it the opposite? That's talking about the imbalance of hormones. Yes, I'm cold all the time, and I live in Florida, and, you know, I live in the Northeast, and it's in the middle of December, and I've got on my shorts and my sandals, you know. I'm so messed up. My body doesn't know if it's coming or going. That's hormones. Then we also think about hormones as, I'm tired all of the time. You know, it might be that it's January in the north and I haven't seen the sun for 3 weeks, and that's the reason I'm tired. But it also might be that sun doesn't make any difference, and I'm just plain tired. And is that seasonal affective disorder, or is it maybe just adrenal fatigue? Or maybe is it just that I am just so burnt out, and I really don't know how to get myself going again? You know, we try all of these other potions and liquids and green drinks and coffee and this tea, this, that, or the other. What's going to jumpstart me and get me started? Sometimes just those things that you think that are going to help you might be just the thing that will be putting you further backwards. And what does that mean? That's about a negative feedback. You know, you give your body something because you know it needs it. Then it says, oh, I've got it. I don't need to make any more myself. And then it says, okay, I'll make less. And they get in this really kind of like we would call the chipmunk wheel, you know, because you're giving it to your body. It makes less and less, and eventually you just don't even know where you are. So it's really all about evaluating your hormones, figuring out where they are, and being able to take a rational plan to be able to get your body to start getting jump-started. What you don't want to do is give it something it doesn't need, over giving it something that you think you might need, and even worse, turning around and saying, hey, I don't need anything, I'm just going to go for all this other stuff that's multi-level marketing on the internet. Well, good luck, because you know, as we all know, eventually you will hit the wall with your health. Everybody does, just a matter of time. Today my guest is Dr. George Sadowski. He is an MD, a medical advisor for Wellness and Hormone Centers of America. He also has a thriving surgical practice in Florida. And we're going to be talking about hormones, male and female. So here we go. Dr. George, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Don't you think it could be the hot or the cold and you don't know where you're going, right?
That is correct. That is correct. And it's, a lot of it is due to hormones. And you can look at it in terms of energy, what is needed and what is missing. And sometimes hormones will provide that for you.
You know, so many people these days are just pumping themselves with all this green detox goop. And they're saying, I'm going to feel so much energy. And then still there's another group of people who are saying, you know, I did that stuff. It didn't do anything for me. In fact, I'm even more tired. And in other words, health is just so individualized. You could have 100 people on a range of, you know, 1 to 100, and you can also have their results of 1 to 100 too, right?
That is correct. And it's something that's very prevalent in our society. When we don't feel well, we reach out to what is available. So what is available, the green drinks and so on and so on. And if you are deficient in the vitamins, let's call these people responders. If you're a responder and you take this, you're going to feel better. But let's say it's a different cause. Let's say it's hormones that you need. When you take the green drink, it does nothing for you. So, and this has wider implications because it does impact studies. For example, we know that the Mediterranean diet is beneficial. It's associated with less chronic disease and longevity. But yet when we study the individual aspects of the Mediterranean diet, the results are really equivocal because we group all the non-responders with the responders, and then we get, maybe something, but we don't know. So it does have wider implications in science.
You know, and sometimes I think we like to look at it, you know, even when soy was so big, I'm sure you remember that. That was about maybe 15 years ago. Soy was, you know, they couldn't push it fast enough. It had to be in everything and anything that walked, you know. Anything you drank, you ate, you put on your skin, soy was the top number one thing. And then they figured out that, you know, hey, it's great just in Asia. And there are women that are should not have soy. You know, I'm the type of person myself, for my own individual health, soy is like, no way, Jose, not going anywhere near it. And just sometimes you have to listen to your intuition, too, because it may not be for you. You know, soy has a, soy, we lost Dr. George, he'll be right back with us. Soy also does have that implication where it does be able to say it has an estrogen base. So when you are doing soy, really make sure what you're doing because you want to be tested and find out if your estrogen receptors are going to take up that soy, and then you may eventually have a health condition afterwards. So, Dr. George, what is your opinion on soy? I mean, myself, no way, but others might be.
That is correct. The whole idea is what is it that you are taking? What is the active ingredient? So we know that soy has some estrogens. And for those people who lack estrogens, they may do just fine with that, although they may be underdosing or overdosing.
Right.
Some may be taking just enough and feeling well. So in the female body, any body, male or female, it's all about balance. So you have to have the right ratio of estrogen to progesterone. So in some cases, when progesterone is high, you're out of balance. Mm-hmm. Other cases, when the estrogen is high, you're out of balance. Now, how does that translate to daily living? You may experience identical symptoms, regardless of whether your estrogen is low or your progesterone is high, or vice versa, because it's all about balance.
And then also, too, we look at people, you know, and now that the technology is really advanced, there are some breast cancers and other female cancers which are estrogen dominant, and it is the type lineage of the estrogen. So in other words, you can break estrogen down even farther. You know, we can say, is estrogen great for every woman? You know, we love the, you know, the pharmaceutical little word, but we won't say what it is. And when you turn around and you look at that, that was given to almost everybody. And then everybody said, well, it's a blanket thing. It's sort of like when you have, you know, over the past 2 decades or so, if you had a cold or flu, you got an antibiotic, you know. Well, if women came in, the first thing they always got was an antidepressant, and they got this estrogen stuff. And it really is, they found, potentially, maybe, in some lineage of the estrogen a cancer-causing. So we really do need to pay attention to that. Not all estrogens are created equal. Not all people's receptors are created equal.
That is correct. The early estrogens were not bioidentical. They were derived from animals. They were not chemical structures that our bodies produce, and there were health consequences secondary to that. But I'm happy that you mentioned estrogen dominance. We produce estrogens, and eventually these estrogens have to be broken down. And genetically, we can break them down to very benign substances, or we can break them down to substances that are carcinogenic. So we can measure the ratios of different estrogens and determine whether your breakdown is favorable or not. And if it is not favorable, we can support those processes, those chemical reactions that break it down in a good way.
Right, because a lot of times you also have to look at the type of estrogen you're being given or what that core process of that estrogen is, because the composition, the chemical one. Because we all know estrone, E1, is maybe not, is pretty funky. E2 is like, oh, well, maybe. But E3 is your better estrogen. And a lot of people say, doesn't matter, we're just going to give you a balance of all three. And is that always the answer? Because in some people, you have to look at how did you get there in the first place and what medications are you taking, you know, along with that. If you're taking something that's affecting your liver, well, your hormones are being born in your liver, your hormones are being broken down in your liver, and there isn't a cause and effect there. You're going to have issues, you know. Or even in your GI system, you know, if things are really funky there and you're absorbing a lot of estrogens, from your food or from the environment or whatever that might be, you're getting an imbalance there that still is going to your liver. So, you know, all kinds of messages are going on in your body. And I think people think it's a very linear progression, and it's really not. It's almost like a spider web. You really need to be finessing it to be able to know what is going on, to be able to touch that to even, you know, help alter that in any way.
That is correct. Everything is a web. All the cells are communicating with all the other cells. Any estrogens that we take in, such as from plastics, can mimic our own reactions and send the wrong messages throughout our body and derange our metabolism. You mentioned estrone, estradiol, and estriol. And the predominant hormone, estrogen, that is present after menopause is estrone. Well, it's, like you said, it's not all that beneficial. You want more estradiol and more estriol, which are more beneficial. Or neutral, or definitely estradiol is neutral or perhaps beneficial, and estriol is definitely beneficial. So we want to accentuate both of those, and we want to play down the estrone effect. In this way, by manipulating these three, we can decrease your risk of cancers.
Well, let's talk about the liver. I mean, everybody that you almost talk to over the age of 50 has been already given something to alter your cholesterol, and it's being, you know, worked in the liver. And you look at that and you say, but cholesterol is what builds hormones. Why are you making a mess of that? And we all know the little train progression is, you know, you get something for your cholesterol or something for your heart first, then something for your cholesterol, then you get something else, you know, libido, and then you're down into these hormones. So in other words, it's always a progression once you start on that train. What are your thoughts on that?
That is correct. It's amazing and a great coincidence that when your hormones decline, your cholesterol always goes up.
Right.
So these reactions are no longer running. You're no longer making estrogen. You're no longer making testosterone. All of it may be running to make cortisol to control the stress in your life, and the cholesterol gets bumped up. So what we do is we poison the first enzyme in the pathway, and we accomplish that effectively, but it has a lot of side effects. So when you look at side effects of statins or of any drug, there are a myriad of reactions that follow from that first reaction. They spread out like a pretty much like a branch from a tree, and you're knocking off everything at the stump. Everything from there on is going to get knocked off, so you're going to get a lot of different side effects. The other thing is when you double dose of a medication, you usually double their side effects, the risk factors, but you only increase its effectiveness by about 6 to 10%. So it doesn't really do that. But going back to the hormonal imbalance, there's a lot to be said about restoring the hormones and correcting the cholesterol, because when you do balance the hormones, the cholesterol has a tendency to go back down to normal. Of course, you have to always be cognizant of the thyroid function and the stresses in our life. The amount of cortisol that you make will really derange everything else, so that really has to be fixed first.
And, you know, you look at stress time. Stress time is always middle age for males and females. It's right around that 40 to 50 because, they're approaching a time where they know that their life is going to change. They know that their life has changed from, you know, kids going on or whatever. Their work, they're looking down the barrel of, you know, am I going to be retiring soon and how can I take care of myself and maybe my parents? You know, so there's a whole lot of this myriad of stuff going on in your head. So right there, if you start at that train of cortisol, you know, with stress, that's the first train. And then when you start messing with the cholesterol, just like I said in the beginning of the show, you know, if, you know, you're starting, your hormones are starting to go down normally, you know, you really are going to start having issues there. And then the cholesterol is going up. That affects all kinds of different things. And it also affects your kidneys. It affects your adrenal issues. You just get into this craziness where people say, I have this symptom. I'm going to my doctor. Fix this symptom. And they come back 2 weeks later, it's another symptom, you know, and then 6 months later, it's another symptom. And if we really think about modern medicine, we really don't want to be symptom punching, you know, because once you start you start with side effect punching, right?
That's correct. You really want to go at the cause of this thing and you want to fix the cause, then all the symptoms go away. Presently, we are some symptom, like you say, symptom punching. For those of you who don't know, signs and symptoms of low hormones are basically signs of old age. So you have symptoms are what you feel, such as irritability or PMS, and signs are what others may see in you, such as wrinkling of skin, loss of muscle tone or muscle mass. Other signs, such as loss of memory, initially present as symptoms and then appear as signs to others, as like the commercial portrays when you start putting your keys in inappropriate places, as happens during dementia. So all of these happens, and sometimes they can happen in early in life, and early in life is any time after 30, and when uncorrected lead to debility and loss of independence. But really, it doesn't have to be that way. Hormones can be rebalanced, nutrients can be tested, they can be put back in so that the loss of functions can be prevented. Now, some function can return, some of it can be replenished to a degree, and aging can slow down because this is how it works. When the hormones decline, debility sets in.
Right. You know, and we look at that a lot of times. People will say, I'm waiting till I hit the wall. You know, I'm doing good. I'm going to keep running and running. And hey, you know, hey, doc, fix me. I know this all the time, you know, being in alternative medicine practice. You have people come that say, you know, my doctor, my MDs, my specialists, whatever they may be, said, I can't fix you anymore, you know, throw up your hands. And then they come to people like myself and they say, okay, you know, here's a check. I have a week. Fix me because I've got to go on a cruise next week. And you look at them and going, really? You know? And so many people believe that everything is fixable. You know, there's always a pill, a drug, a surgery, or something that's going to fix it. But they forget to realize that, you know, when you get that pothole in the road, you know, and because maybe the cement in the road or whatever is worn through and you get a pothole. Well, it'll fill up with water. You'll notice it. You'll take care of it. You'll start to maybe patch it up with some other whatever stuff. So you'll fill up that pothole. But that pothole, that road piece there is never, ever as good as it used to be. And really, if you look at it, the only way you can make it better is to totally replace that whole road. Well, we aren't replacing human beings to this point. What we were trying to say is that it will never be as good as it used to be. It will be better than it is, but it will never be as perfect as it used to be. So when people come in and they say, I want wellness, I want health, how does that really shake out for many people? And they look around and they say, oh, but that's not what I wanted. You know, I wanted this. They've got this definition in their head where they want it. They want to be able to have libido like they had when they were 30. They want to be able to have skin like they were in their 40s. They want to be able to jump up and down and do everything with their kids, and their kids are in their teens. So, you know, we have to understand, too, is that our bodies are normal aging process. While we may be able to give them hormones to improve some of, you know, that backlash there, that sliding back that we've done, but we are not supposed to be superhumans in our 70s and 80s to look and feel like we were 20.
Well, you are correct in the way traditional medicine approaches disease. You get the symptoms and you get a reaction to it. Usually it's a pill. And that masks the symptoms. You never address the cause. So we wait until a diagnosis of a disease is made and then treatment is prescribed. So as our population gets sicker and sicker, more and more people get sick and more healthcare dollars are diverted to the sickest in the population. The net result is the sickest consumes the majority of the healthcare, with very little being left to prevent the healthy from getting sick, which is what we're talking about. The genetic predisposition, the underlying metabolic deficiencies, harmful lifestyle choices are completely ignored. Okay. Now, if you have a genetic predisposition to a disease in your family, that predisposition does not necessarily have to be borne out. You're not a prisoner of your genetic destiny, but you have to act and do the work. You have to address the metabolic risk factors and treatments of these metabolic disorders to prevent and reverse these ailments. People have the wrong impression. They feel that they go to a doctor's office and a disease is taken off the shelf and assigned to them. This is not exactly how it works. A disease takes years in the making. You're doing it every day. Then you show up at a doctor's office and guess what he said? He told me I have diabetes, or he told me I have hypertension. Well, he made the recognition that you have it, but you've been making this thing. Now, it takes 10 to 15 years of a deficiency to create a deficient organ system. Then another 10 to 15 years of a deficient organ system to produce visible pathology that can be replicated on a CAT scan or X-ray study or a biopsy. At that point, we have lost the ability to reverse any of that. We can only modify certain symptoms of that disease, but we cannot reverse any disease. We just don't have that ability at this time.
You know, and so many
going
times,
back, you can have. Excuse me.
Well, don't you think? And so many times over those first two decades is actually when they're coming in, and you're saying, it's sort of like the doctor's waving the red flag saying, danger, danger ahead, you know, pay attention. And they look at it and they go, eh, whatever. Or sometimes, you know, we'll put it back on the physicians too. There's some doctors who will say, well, you are pre this and we'll watch it. Or, yes, I see that, but it's not a full diagnosis of it yet. You know, so there's really three paradigms there that are really in modern medicine right now that really need to be emphasized. And people say, hey, you know, if I'm even on the track to something, maybe I need to pay attention so I can get off that track instead of sitting and watchful waiting, or maybe it's pre this or that, or we're going to watch it. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, let me start back. Hormones have a lifespan. They peak around age 20, they plateau by age 30, and then they start declining from there on. And we lose function. We can't run as fast. We can't jump as high. Memory goes. We don't heal as fast. Things happen. Everyone can recognize that. When you have a deficiency, and that deficiency is not addressed. And by the way, that deficiency cannot be addressed by a complete blood count or chemistry profile. It's not enough. So this disease gets started, and it takes time to develop this, the deficiency and then to produce a disease. When you don't measure these things, you don't address them. So the typical scenario is you go to a doctor's office, you get your blood work, they tell you it's stellar. It's just excellent.
Right.
And you're out in the parking lot looking at your copy of your records and you're thinking, well, if my blood work is so good, how come I still feel like poop?
Yep.
Well, did they look at your hormones? No. Did they do a micronutrient deficiency profile? Nope. Mm-hmm. Now, from a doctor's point of view, these diseases don't kill you quickly. It takes 10, 15 years to do it, so you're dying slow. Well, do we need to rush and do anything real quick if you're dying slow? Not really. But it's also a lazy man's approach to health, which, by the way, you cannot get from what I call sick care medicine and sick care insurance. Your insurance kicks in when you get sick. And it takes care of you, and it will save your life. But you cannot get health from your health insurance. You have to get health from changing your lifestyle, eating healthy, balancing your hormones, looking at nutrients, and everything else.
So let's look at modern medicine. What we're talking about is about bioidentical hormones. We're also talking about hormones being evaluated and how you balance those for really health and how you actually test for them too. A lot of doctors were not told this in school. They were not trained this way. Myself as a naturopathic physician, yes, we were trained this way. How did you come to this point and be able to realize that something has to shake out here, there's something that has to be different, because you are the medical advisor for the Wellness and Hormone Centers of America, which is a very, very important thing to be able to say, you know, we know what we're talking about, and this is how you do it.
Well, when I first started out in practice, patients frequently asked me whether there was anything they could do or any other place they could go to regain their vitality, which they were losing due to old age.
Mm-hmm.
So as I got older and saw my function decline, I became interested in this. And after some research and study, it became apparent to me that hormones control the aging process. So when hormones decline, not only does old age set in, but aging is actually accelerated. This is now known as the pause theory of aging. So when hormones pause, aging is accelerated. On the other hand, when hormones are balanced, people feel better and age slower. They still continue to age, but they just don't feel old. That's the difference. So I'll give you an example. During menopause, which is an abrupt withdrawal of hormonal support, an average woman between the ages of 50 and 60 will age about 16 years. During that same time, her counterpart, the male, will age about 6 years. So you get to see a visible disparity between how the woman looks at age 60 and how the man looks at age 60. And 99% of the time, the man always looks better. Now,
right. We
eventually catch up when testosterone is withdrawn by age 70.
Mm-hmm.
So we eventually end up about the same, but the testosterone withdrawal is more subtle, and more damage can be done before we actually seek treatment.
And all of these hormones that we're talking about do affect your heart health. They affect your overall health. That's why, you know, you sometimes look at women in their 50 to 60 range, and they're off to the therapist and the psychologist. That's their biggest place they go because everybody thinks they're crazy, and so do they. And then we look at men, you know, from 60 to 70, and we attribute his heart condition to, oh, well, you know, he's retiring now. He doesn't know how much money he has. His loss of identity of his work or his job or whatever is gone now, and this is what's causing his heart condition. And he's also looking down the barrel that, you know, How is his life at home with his wife or whatever? So really, those, you know, we look at the social implications and we say that those are not coordinated with their physical condition or their emotional condition or their hormone condition, when really it's all the same thing. These are all different signs and signals and waving flags and everything, growing weeds, that people are just not paying attention and saying, I hear you, let me listen a little bit closer, and let me be able to share with you what I hear, and is this what I'm hearing? I'm sure at your office, you have to really pay attention to people, because if you slip and miss what they're saying, you know, I've always said on this show, that which you don't bring into the office is exactly what you need for healing. You know, that thing that you are just not saying or implying is exactly where you're off. People may come in and say, you know, I need to go to the therapist because I'm crazy. But what she's really saying is that, you know, I've got all these other hormone issues and I feel them and I know it and my life at home sucks, right?
That is correct. There is a certain relationship between hormones in the body and neurotransmitters in the brain. When hormones are depleted, the neurotransmitters will suffer. Likewise, if the neurotransmitters get depleted from stress and overuse, the hormones will suffer. So you are correct. With women, the physical and mental symptoms of sex hormone deficiency are varied, can be very unusual, and can puzzle your physician hopelessly.
Mm-hmm.
Women can complain of nervousness, irritability, anxiety, loss of memory, urinary incontinence, insomnia, depression, panic attacks, mood swings, inability to deal with stressful situations, weight gain, needless worry. These are very nonspecific symptoms, dryness of the eyes, nose, and mouth, etc., headache, and so on and so on. And sometimes these symptoms can appear right after age 30. So you don't want to wait till the end. You want to be proactive. You want to look at these things. You want to stay in shape. You want to prevent weight gain, et cetera. You want to be active. You want to get all these things checked and replenished.
So let's talk about also men with a heart. I mean, but we also say women have a really high risk of heart disease too. So hormones, number one, do affect the heart. And so many say, no way. It's just my cholesterol and it's all those blocked arteries. And that's usually the end result. That's not exactly the beginning, right?
Like I said, the disease takes years in the making. You don't just get it in one day.
Right.
Loss of testosterone is associated with heart disease in men.
Uh-huh.
You have cardiologists saying things like, I never saw a middle-aged male with a heart attack who had a high
mm-hmm.
testosterone. That's simply not compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, heart disease is very rare when you're young and your levels are up to snuff. So there is a working relationship between all these hormones and neurotransmitters and et cetera. When they get depleted, you get very unusual symptoms. And in many cases, traditional medicine just reaches for an antidepressant and they just give it to you without really thinking about what the underlying cause of the problem is.
So, Dr. George, let's talk about testing. I mean, our doctors, you know, regular traditional physicians will give you a certain battery of tests. Alternative healthcare practitioners will give you another battery of tests, and they are so different. There is blood tests, there is salivary tests, there is all kinds of different testing that can be done. How would somebody be able to figure out where do they start?
Well, our initial workup is our blood tests. We look at hormone levels. If there's any question, we want to go to hormone breakdown products and see if you are secreting these things and breaking them down properly. And, of course, salivary, in some cases, salivary hormone levels are optimal, like in cases of cortisol, where you can get a 4-point cortisol testing and actually see if that cortisol is reacting the way it's supposed to be normally in a human.
you know, so many times we look at blood tests and we always say, well, that's just a spot treatment. And yes, it is, because that's just saying at this moment, this is what my blood is doing. When we think about cortisol, you know, when you take it in the morning time at around 10 o'clock, you go in and you're having your blood drawn and they're checking your cortisol level. And then you go back and you say, but doctor, I'm still tired in the afternoon. And it's like the doctor didn't check it in the afternoon. In other words, they don't see the range of exactly what it's doing. Let's talk about female hormones too, and male. When you turn around and you're testing at a certain time of the month or not, and we say, oh, but all your hormones are fine, and you didn't ask them anything about where they were in their cycle or not, or where they are at their age, and all of this definitely has a huge point to play.
That is correct. You want to as far as cortisol, you get a 4-point cortisol throughout the day, and you look at the graph, see if that graph is abnormal, and you support if it's not exactly the way it's supposed to be, you support mm-hmm. that, and you try to diminish the highs, and you support the lows. Likewise, in the menstrual cycle, you know there are highs and there are lows, so it does matter where in time you test this. And we give our patients very strict directions as to when they're supposed to go to the lab and when they're supposed to collect the urine sample, what time we want them to submit the salivary sample, etc.
And I think also, too, the standard test, like let's talk about thyroid just for one quick second. Thyroid, there's been all kinds of discussions about just, you know, checking T4, T3, TSH, you're good to go, and that's what it is. And really the concept of, you know, what is my reverse T3, what is my free T3, T4, all of those are different testing that needs to be done to be able to actually evaluate. Great, I can say my body's pushing it out. It has the ability to do that. Or, yes, it has some T4, but is it actually being activated in my body or not? So, you know, whether hormones are bound or they are free, that is a huge difference also.
And that is crucial. That's a crucial difference. You want to know that. Regarding thyroid, traditional medicine usually gets a TSH, which is thyroid stimulating hormone. And if that is suppressed, they assume that everything else is working. But humans run on T3. Right. TSH goes to the thyroid, produces T4. Then you have to convert the T4 to T3. Now, for example, that conversion is selenium dependent. If you lack selenium in your diet, it is not possible for you to convert, to make that conversion. Also, stress has a big impact on the conversion of T4 to T3. So if you have a lot of stress in your life, you will not be able to convert that. So then, if we run on T3, if you're not going to get enough, you're going to feel tired. You're going to have all kinds of symptoms. You want to be able to measure reverse T4 and reverse T3, I'm sorry. You also want to measure antibodies. If any of these numbers are off, you want to dig a little deeper. You want to find out exactly what is the cause behind the patient not feeling well. What is the disease process here?
Right, because a lot of times, you know, when they say that, they say, well, we'll give you some more T4, we'll give you more T4, and all they're really doing is pouring that into your body and further depressing your body, going back again to the beginning of the conversation. I'm going to give your body more T4, more T4, and then your body says, well, I'm getting enough T4, I'm going to stop putting it out. But really, your problem is not your T4, your problem is conversion. And if you can't convert it, you're really in the soup then, because then you're really further into that disease. So let's talk a little bit about treatments. A lot of times people say, well, you know, hormones, am I going to be doing injections? Am I going to be doing creams? And I saw all of those things. There's a lot of them on the internet. I can get a progesterone cream, or I can get, you know, hey, this testosterone stuff and androgens. They're all over the internet. So what are your thoughts on treatments?
Well, hormones cause powerful effects. So small amounts can actually do a lot. So it's very, very important that you measure these and you don't overshoot and you just get it right. You don't want to undershoot as well. A lot of hormones can be taken by pill form. Some of them, it is safer to give them as a cream for transdermal delivery. And some of them, if you are not able to correct the deficiency with the creams, you may have to go to an injection. Mm-hmm. But that is rare.
Now, and I think it's also, too, with creams, you can really titrate it. You are able to give a little bit less or a little bit more, and you're able to stop it and be able to see the effects or not the effects, where sometimes, you know, you don't want to have that thing where your body says no more, no way. Creams also, you know, being able to skip the liver on that first pass is really important, too.
That is correct. You avoid the toxicity. It's more physiological. It mimics the normal release of hormones in your body. So this is the preferential way of doing it. And don't forget, they have to be bioidentical, which means they have to have exactly the same structure that of hormones that we produce in our own body.
And that's important, too, for a lot of people because they say bioidentical. I don't know what that means. We all know that there's been a lot of talk about that out in the media in probably the past 5 years, but people say, my doctor doesn't know what that means. He says, this is fine. This is what it is. It's been this way forever. So there is a difference, right?
Absolutely. It is absolutely crucial to have bioidentical hormone replacement. You don't want hormones that are foreign to our body. They have all kinds of untoward effects, have been associated with cancer in the past, and mm-hmm. most of the association of hormones and cancer have been because of the non-bioidentical hormones that were used in the past.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of like if we can analogy, we think about that pothole again, you know. If you turn around and you have a cement road and you're filling it in with cement, you're kind of similar and it might bind and it might do what it needs to do and you'll get a little bit more time out of it. But if you turn around and you're saying, oh, but this tar here looks just like cement, we're going to fill in that hole and I'm good to go. That's another thing. It's you're putting it there for a purpose. You think that purpose will take care of the issue. However, it's not similar in its constitution. Therefore, you know, the tar might start sinking in or it might chipping away or it might do whatever. So it's not the same thing. And that's important for people to understand about hormones is that hormones being bioidentical, you want them to be very similar in structure. And when you think back to your chemistry classes, I think everybody should take chemistry these days, or biochemistry and physics at least once, because you'll be able to see what is a molecule and what about, you know, even when you just look at water, H2O, and you look at the little arms sticking out from the element, you say, I'm going to put this one here on the left, that's water, and I'm going to put one over here on the right, and are they the same? And they're going, no, it doesn't look the same. And it's sort of like, but you just call them both water. And that's, you know, a real eye-opener for people to start paying attention in the life, because that is what it's all about, right?
That is correct. It may look like water, may taste like water, but if you have a chemical structure that is different, it's going to mm-hmm. affect you differently. So speaking of chemistry and chemicals, our society has allowed the addition of preservatives and chemicals in our food supply. And these are doing much harm to our population. We've gone low fat, yet despite that, our population is fatter than ever. There's more disease, chronic disease than ever, and which is something that we need to think about.
And also, too, when we turn around and give hormones to our animals and we turn around and eat them, is that the same hormone we gave to the animal that's now the same hormone I'm taking, but then you're eating it in your animal? And, you know, in other words, you get into a whirlwind of questions and controversy that really there are no answers for everybody because everybody is still hiding the truth about that.
That is correct. the hormones that are given to animals are estrogens, and they're given to for them to beef them up right before they go to market, so you can get more money for that. So they're putting profit ahead of our health, and then we're eating all these estrogens. Now, excess estrogen is chronic disease and cancer. These are the side effects of excess estrogen. So we need to really address these issues because they're very, very important.
You know, well, Dr. George, it's been a really great time having you with us. You know, it's such a controversy these days. Everybody's looking for a book and looking for a test and saying, fix me, but they really don't have a handle on it. I think sometimes we need to really lay out our health. I mean, even my health intake is 14 pages long, and it takes 2.5 hours, where not everybody has that time and not everybody has that patience to walk through that. But a lot of people need to find something in the middle. It's not 15 minutes, and it's not, you know, what your EHR puts out, this little printed thing that's going to really save your health. You really need to be a conscious, empowered patient and saying, you know, I need to figure out what's going on with me. I need to be able to write things out and pay attention. And then I need to be able to, when I'm in the office, be conscious and alert and listen to what the doctor is saying and be able to provide the information that is also necessary, right?
That is correct. Health is not something that arrives in the mail. You have to go out and get it. So don't wait. Be proactive. You are not alone. Wellness and Hormone Centers of America is here. We'll help you break through some of these challenges and roadblocks that have been put in your way. We will balance your hormones so you can look and feel better as you age. So as your function of vitality continues to decline, as it does during aging, if you're losing strength, having trouble taking care of yourself, don't delay. Get your hormones checked. Get them balanced, and you will get better. For those of you who are interested, you can call us at 855-336-1296 or log on to www.wellnesshca.com. If you don't,
well,
you
Dr.
may regret
George,
missing the
great.
Life that you could have had.
Yeah, I think, you know, thank sometimes you. People sit back and they wait and they say, you know, oh, well, I'm not really sure. I'm going to wait. You know, maybe that's, you know, my doctor poo-poos this. And I think really the best thing to do is take charge of your own health and be able to step out and see, hey, maybe I'm going to think about it. Hey, I'm going to show up and see what I can hear, right?
That is correct. In many cases, it's a gradual transition. Maybe you get a little exercise, and you initially you can start out just doing whatever you feel comfortable with. It can be a 10-minute walk, then you increase it to 15 minutes, then you do it twice a day, then you add some resistant training to it, stretching exercises, you start eating better, you concentrate on nutrients instead of just empty calories. The next step, maybe you go organic, and you become more cognizant of all the additives, all the chemicals that are put on our food, which may cause harm, and you avoid these. And slowly you make that transition, and eventually you may go, well, you know, I'm really not feeling as well as I should be. And you look at your hormones. This is really very revealing in many cases. You look at the hormones, you balance the hormones, these folks feel better. Now, some people can say they're cheating. Well, we don't look at it as cheating when we use eyeglasses or hearing aids or when we drive a car. But I agree with some of that. I think we're cheating, and we're cheating old age, which brings infirmity. Nobody wants to be old. Nobody wants to be dependent on others. You want to preserve your independence and take care of yourself. And you don't want to be in pain.
Right. Well, absolutely.
Right.
Well, Dr. George, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you with us because, you know, I think hormones is just that question that hangs out there and probably less than 1% actually take advantage of it. So thank you so much for joining us and sharing this light about hormones.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us. If you'd like more information about Dr. George Sadowski, the information is on the bottom of today's show page. The link is there directly to the website. And it's important to be able to realize that you really need to take care of yourself. You really need to pay attention because not everybody knows what's going on in your house. Not everybody knows what's going on in your body or in your mind or how you feel. It's really up to you to be able to get that information to your doctor. So please do check out Dr. George Sadowski. The link is on the bottom of today's show page. And it's been an absolute pleasure to have you with us today. Please do check out our shows. We are on every single day in the year 2015. It's great to have you with us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone, or the television remote, or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.